Hello and welcome to Stranger Stopping Strangers, podcast number 31. Thank you so much for tuning in. Big welcome back to anybody who's returning, and thanks for stopping in to anybody who's new this week. So this week's podcast, I get to talk to Connor Bradley, and Connor is what I call a 21st century deadhead. He is 20 years old and so full of love for the music and the community and his friends and experiences as anyone that I've talked to. And, you know, it's really what Stranger Stopping Strangers is all about, you know, a chance to meet people from all ages and walks of life and hear how we all fit together. So I just had so much fun meeting him and listening to his stories and hearing his music picks. We start off with, you know, childhood and early introduction to the music with his dad and his first show. And we play a little Dark Store Orchestra, which is a first for Stranger Stopping Strangers, and end with Broken Down Palace, which is, in Connor's opinion, how all great shows should end. And on a technical note, I want to say about midway through the conversation, the line gets a bit echoey. And I'm beginning to realize on my quest for high recording quality that, you know, it's just going to vary from podcast to podcast based on what device the caller's speaking on. Just wanted to mention that ahead of time, and thanks for bearing with the echo. And thank you so much for tuning in, and enjoy. We'll catch you next week. Welcome to Stranger Stopping Strangers.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. We're snowed in today.
We are snowed in. Snowed so hard that the roof caved in day, huh?
Exactly. I was listening to a version of that earlier, and I yelled a little bit when that line came on. My mom got scared.
Yeah, no, it's a snowy day out here in the Northeast, but I'm enjoying the plain quiet of it all. They get to tape this podcast, so there's a win.
Yeah, no, definitely finally got down to doing it.
Perfect.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Very excited to talk.
Well, lots of weather in the Grateful Dead's catalog. When I talked to Rob Rossman, I feel like his whole podcast, we kept talking about the weather. So it's
Bob Weir controls the weather. Isn't that what they say, that something like that?
Absolutely. No, Bob Weir does control the weather, and he wants us to be snowed in and making this podcast right now. Thank you, Bobby.
Yes, thank you, as always, Bob.
Well, so this is so fun. I haven't had what I call a 21st century deadhead on in a while. There's a couple guys that I've talked to, and I love it. It's so fun. So, I mean, so tell everyone a little bit. I mean, you are a young man to be so digging this community. You're a 21st century deadhead. And
yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 20.
You're 20. Okay. So,
I
just think
21 in April.
21 in April. You get to have your first drink in April.
Exactly.
Oh,
I haven't drank anything before then.
No. You got to, I'm sure you're as clean as the driven snow out there in the Northeast. So, yeah, so, I mean, this is really fun because, you know, it's all about the community and everyone. And I love that, you know, that we got to meet and that we're talking. And, I mean, if it wasn't for our connection and our love for the community and the music, you know, we wouldn't have met. So, Stranger Stopping Strangers.
Exactly.
Is finest.
That's definitely, like, something that I definitely love about this whole thing is that everywhere you go is, like, you see someone that you have seen before, whether it be on the West Coast, on the East Coast, you've seen that person, you can connect with them like it's like you've been childhood friends with them forever. And it's just so unique how, like, we can just meet, or even meeting random people at somewhere and just being able to connect with them like we're best, long-lost best friends. It's just, like, a feeling that will never, like, get old, I guess.
I don't think so. I mean, I could be your mother without it really being, like, you know, a scandalous story. At all.
Yeah.
I could be your mother, and it could be, like, you know, like, pretty normal, more normal stuff. So it's still not old to me. So, you know, I'd say you got a good 25 years to go, and it's still cool, or 23 years as it wore off.
Yeah, right?
Right on.
No, it's not that. It's definitely crazy.
Well, so tell me a little bit about, you know, we talked a little bit before, but, you know, how, like, you know, where it resonates. Tell me about the beginning, like, you know, your early experiences and how you came to love the music.
So, like, I remember, like, when I was a little kid, like, my dad has taught me so much music. Everything I know about music is from my dad. Like, without a doubt, I can't even bring any credit onto, like, myself. And he always had, like, these crazy mix CDs in his car, and, like, they had the craziest stuff on it, like, stuff that you would never imagine being paired up with each other. Like, it always just, like, seemed to work out in, like, the best way possible. And one of those songs on there was Ripple, the studio version from American Beauty. And I remember it specifically being on a disc with Taxi by Harry Chapin. I was telling you a little bit about this because I thought this was funny. I remember, like, asking him one day, like, after Ripple, like, who sang that? And, like, I guess he said the Grateful Dead, but, like, I guess another time I'd asked him about the Harry Chapin song. So for the longest time in my life, I had gotten it confused, and I always thought that that Ripple was sung by Harry Chapin, which is kind of funny.
Oh, but, yeah. Wow. Well. That is, well, I mean, it is, but like, it's, they're both, I mean, Terry Chapin makes such great music too. I mean, it's good company to be in for sure.
Oh yeah, exactly. Without a doubt. Very good storyteller and definitely like, that was kind of a cool collaboration. Like thinking about it now, like if like the Dead and Terry Chapin had ever gone on stage together, or like maybe even crossed paths, like I wonder like what would have come out of that.
Oh, totally. I always think about those kind of stuff for sure. So you're a kid and you're listening to like all of like the greatest music at the time, and now like you hear Ripple and it brings you back to that time.
Yeah, it definitely brings me back to like being a child and like rolling around like through like wherever we were going, baseball games or like wherever. Me and my dad always takes me on like road trips when he was going on road trips for work, and like just like hearing music and like Ripple's Dead now definitely a song where I think about like going on like those trips in the car and like just like seeing like all sorts of different crazy stuff that we used to see together like in the car.
That is so cool. Well, I mean, that is a hashtag successful parenting for sure. I mean, I'm picking away at it. My kids, you know, they're obviously forced to listen to the music, but they have an affinity for some pop music, so we rotate. But I'm really hoping it you know it sinks in, and I mean, I'd be so happy to, you know, as a mom, have my kids be telling a similar story, you know, 10 years down the road. So that just makes my heart smile. It makes me so happy to hear that.
Yeah, and definitely, like, I feel like it happens subconsciously because I always, like different music. And then, like, one day, like, I just remember, I was like, holy shit, this Grateful Dead stuff's amazing.
So you used to argue the music, too. Like, were you – so this wasn't, like, this was counterintuitive to you as a kid. Like, there was other stuff that you wanted to hear, too?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Like, there's definitely – because, like, the thing is, like, you always want to listen to the stuff that, like, your friends were listening to at school, you know what I mean? Like, and, like, I'm sure none of my friends when we were 6 years old, 7 years old, were listening to Ripple by the Grateful Dead or Taxi by Harry Chapin, you know? So,
oh,
like,
no way. Yeah, totally.
So, like, you had to have a balance in there where you were listening to, like, whatever, Black Eyed Peas or whoever was big at that time, like, so –
Well, that's helpful. No, that makes me feel good because, again, I mean, I'm not gonna throw any shade on any particular bands ever on this podcast, but I'm not a fan, you know, of a lot of the stuff that I'm forced to listen to. So here's hoping that it's just a phase and that, you know, my kids will be, you know, that it's that slowly seeping in against their will, and that's an awesome story. We take turns playing songs, and the other day, this is kind of a funny story, then we're going to play some music. So we take turns, and there's a comic that I've seen that's pretty funny with the family in the car, and the dad chooses the music, and, you know, they're like, ah, it's so long. And so that's always my argument to my kids, because they've seen that comic, that, like, my songs are so much longer than their songs. And we were taking turns, and it was Help on the Way, Slipknot, and it was from American Music Hall, 1972. And on that playlist, it stops after Slipknot. It doesn't go into Franklin's Tower. It's a different song. So right towards the end of Slipknot, I, like, scrolled through my list and, like, hit Franklin's Tower. And so now we're, like, you know, 9 minutes in, and my daughter's like, it's my turn! And I'm like, it's all the same song. You have to wait.
That's so funny because I remember my first Dead & Company show. I was on the floor at Madison Square Garden, and, like, they played Terrapin Station, Into Drums, Into Space, and then I think it was Morning Dew, and then China Cat Sunflower, I Know You Rider. And, like, during, like, this transition jam of China Rider, this guy looks at me and just goes, holy shit, is this ever going to fucking end? And I look at him and I go, I hope not.
It's one song. It's just one song. Now it's your turn.
It's so funny, though, like, seeing, like, different, like, people and, like, so many people around this guy just enjoying it. And, like, even though, like, all his friends were enjoying it, he just looked like he was dragged along. And then maybe, hopefully it sunk in with him. And, like, he realized afterwards, wow, it was really good. Because it definitely was really good.
Totally. Well, the gig is up in my family. My kids know that like, the rotation isn't fair. They get their, like, three-minute song, and then I, you know, roll into my 7+. But, you know, hey, it's my car. It's my radio. It's my choice. So.
Exactly. You got to start rolling out, like, a 30-minute Dark Star or something crazy.
Oh, my God. They'd be, like, at each other's throats halfway through. Well, let's go in and hear some music. So you chose Ripple as the first song to hear, and I mean, it's just such a beautiful song. I feel like it's, you know, it's so many people's favorite song. And
of course, it's the words, and it's like Jerry's teaching you a lesson. That's like every single time you hear it, no matter what, I can hear that song today, and I can hear it tomorrow, and it'll mean two totally different things. And that's what I love so much about the music, is that it just, no matter what you're going through, like, it always seems like they have something that that would definitely, like, help you out.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Well, let's roll into this. And this is the American Beauty. So, I mean, this is, you know, the classic, the original. You know, what was on the song list, 10, 12, 15 years ago. And then we're going to come back and hear a little about some of your first live show experiences and go on down the road.
Awesome.
Okay, enjoy.
If my words did glow with the gold of sunshine, and my tunes were played on the harp unstrung, would you hear my voice come through the music? Would you hold it near as it were your own? It's a hand-me-down. The thoughts are broken. Perhaps they're better left unsung. I don't know. Don't really care. Let there be songs to fill the air. Rippled in still water, when there is no pebble tossed, nor wind to blow, reach out your hand. If your cup be empty, if your cup is full, may it be again. Let it be known there is a fountain that was not made by the hands of men. There is a road, no simple highway, between the dawn and the dark of night. And if you go, no one may follow. That path is for your steps alone. Ripple in water. When there is no pebble tossed, no wind to blow, you choose to lead, must follow. But if you fall, you fall alone. If you should stand, then who's to guide you? If I knew the way, I would take you home. La da da da, la da 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 da.
Well, we are back now from listening to Ripple. Again, just such an awesome song. Every time, every day, every way.
It's sweeter with age. Sweeter with age.
Absolutely. So let's get on to you know, some of your live experiences. So the you know, I have the show that we picked to play some music from, but tell everyone the story. Tell me how you ended up there and what went down.
All right, so I was actually just texting like my best friend Matt. Like we go to all the shows together and everything, and I was talking about like my first show, this further show, and I was like, you know, I can't really remember why I went to that show. I just kind of went. Like, I don't really remember, like, prior to, like, not really, I never, like, I was like the Grateful Dead and everything, but, like, I never really, like, listened to them. And so I just thrust myself into it. And that day, anyone that will tell you, you talk about Further 2013 at PNC Bank Arts Center, the first thing they said, guarantee, will be the rain.
Okay.
Every single person I've talked to about this show, like, oh, what's your first show? Like, whatever. I'm like, oh, I saw it Further at PNC Bank Arts Center 2013. And they're like, is that the show with the rain? And I was like, yep, that was the show with the rain. So I remember I was at work that day, and my job was outside, and we actually got called off because of the rain. They told us to go home or whatever. And I remember going home, and, like, my dad was sitting there, and I was like, hey, like, Further's playing at PNC Bank Arts Center tonight. It's only, like, 25-minute drive. Do you want to go? And this was, like, probably, like, an hour before the show. And my dad's like, oh, yeah, maybe we'll go. We look online. Ticket prices are, like, sky high for some reason. We're like, oh, maybe we'll just go there and, like, see what's up. I guess my dad didn't want to disappoint me because I was asking him to go to a concert with him. And we called my uncle for some reason. And because my uncle goes to a lot of concerts, and we're like, hey, like, do you have any, like, ideas on, like, how to get tickets or whatever? And he was just like, go on, like, this website, like, right before the concert. And we wound up getting tickets for, like, $30 or something, because someone was probably just trying to get rid of them because of the rain. It was a torrential downpour. And they were, like, underneath the balcony, probably about, like, 40 yards off the stage.
Wow.
And it was just the most life-changing experience of my entire life. Going there with my dad, it was amazing. We got out of the car, and this is such a funny story. My dad, he doesn't even make it prior to the tailgate of the truck. And this guy walks up to him and goes, hey, man, you got any mushrooms? And my dad looks at him, and, like, I'm there. I'm, like, probably, like, 15, 16 years old. And my dad goes, no, man, I don't have any mushrooms. Get out of here. And so, like, that's just a funny story because, like, thinking about it, like, now, like, I was like, what is going on at this place? Like, this is, like, a legitimate circus. And
so
I just
funny.
Remember this, the venue has these, like, long stairs that you walk up, and, like, you go to, like, the lawn area. And I just remember, like, that was the first time I ever saw, like, the spinners, like, people spinning.
Yeah,
yeah. And I was like, oh, my, like, it was, like, nothing I ever seen before. But, I mean, I knew at that moment, like, I was, like, it was, like, kind of like the feeling that I get now when I go to a show where, like, you are at the right place at the right time. Like, this is where you're meant to be. And, like, that's definitely, like, something that stuck with me. I just remember, like, everyone there was so happy. And, like, it was just, like, the craziest thing. Like, such an eye-opening experience to see everyone so happy. And, like, especially, like, 2013 was, like, a hard time because, you know, we had everything going on, like, with, like, the recession and all that, like, around this area for, like, people working on Wall Street and all that. And, like, so many people, like so many friends, families and everything were like so down, and like seeing like so many happy people like in one place is just like such a crazy experience from like when I was so young. And I just remember the music was just so good, and the eyes of the world just absolutely changed my life. I said before, like I never really listened to them, so like I was kind of going into this blind. And just, Eyes of the World came on. I just remember everyone went nuts, and everyone just started smiling ear to ear, and it was just like the most beautiful thing. Like looking around and like seeing so many people, like I said before, so happy for like this song, and like it's like wow. Like and the thing is, it means something different to every single person there, but everyone's just happy about it, like no matter what. And it's just something so crazy that like that can happen.
Yeah, Eyes of the World, again, that's a winner every time. I mean, I remember when I, you know, was thinking about starting the podcast and I was going to have uniform questions for people, and, you know, it kind of evolved into something else. But one of the questions that I had kicked around was, you know, what's your bathroom break song? Which, you know, is kind of ultimately a negative question, so, you know, I haven't asked it. But I bring that up because, I mean, Eyes of the World, everyone's happy to hear Eyes of the World. I mean, I just can't imagine Eyes of the World is anybody's bathroom break song, you know. And, I'm not going to mention any that might be, but everyone is so happy to hear that every time. I mean, I don't know. It's one of those songs that I just haven't ever met anyone that just doesn't, you know, dig it on so many levels.
Exactly. If I went to 10 shows in a row and they played Eyes of the World 10 shows in a row, I would not complain. I'd be just as happy every single damn time if I heard that song.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree. I think, like, I don't know, maybe Jack Straw's up there with me with that, Terrapin, Eyes of the World. I don't know. There's just some songs that are just, I don't know, they seem to just, you know, transcend everybody's taste, you know, like... You know, like maybe, again, like maybe some people are more into like a Truckin' and other people are more into a Peggy O or, you know, like the ballads and campier songs. But it's like it's so not either.
Yeah, it's just so amazing how like they have so many songs. And like, I mean, I'm looking at a postcard right now that I have and it says 36,534 different songs or like, I guess, songs they played throughout their career, which is just amazing. And every single song just means something totally different to each person, and I just think it's so beautiful how like music is just so can just reach that many people. It's
absolutely,
like nothing I've ever seen before. Like I've loved a lot of music before, but like once I started to get into this, it was just like a total different world of music. Like I could not believe like anything, and for it to be going on for so many years, it really definitely is like a testament to like what's going on here. People can say what they want about it, but, like, it's definitely something that has withstood the test of time. I mean, I have friends that have been seeing this band since 1970. And it's just crazy. Like, people have given literally their entire life, basically, to this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the fact that you and I are talking is a clear indication that, you know, that it's, that we have new listeners and, you know, new deadheads in every generation. And that's, you know, that's everything, you know, in terms of just like family and community. And, you know, you can't have a community and a family without having, you know, multiple generations of it. And, I think the deadhead is a community and it is a family. So, it's to have new generations and old generations and everybody be friends and together. You know, that's, to me, the best kind of community.
It's funny, though, because, like, the friend that I was thinking of when I said that, we saw Bobby Weir at the Tower Theater together, and the usher there, the girl looked at him, and, like, he walked past her, and she goes, wow, you must be, like, the original fan of these guys. And he looked at her and was just like, basically, yeah, I'm coming for, you know, 45... almost 50 years, you know, it's something totally crazy.
Yeah, well, it's a beautiful thought of you guys, like, walking down together, too, you know, like, that's, again, that's everything. Well, let's go in and play Eyes of the World. I want to hear this version. I mean, one thing that's fun about this podcast is I get to hear so much music that, you know, I wouldn't have heard, you know, from further or from, you know, Phil and Friends or, you know, it's clearly even the Grateful Dead. I mean, I don't have the statistic you just threw out, but a shitload of songs, and I have not heard all of them by a long stretch. So when,
this is absolutely the perfect version of Eyes of the World that I've ever seen live, still to this day. John Cabasek sings it, and I think that he's phenomenal. Everything he does. you listen to him, whether it's a solo band or whether it's with Further or whatever. I mean, I know he was the one who started Dark Star Orchestra back in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I guess when he left and did his stuff with Further, and now he's back on the road, like, hitting it with John Cadlicic Band. I saw them not too long ago, last April, I believe, and it was an absolutely phenomenal show. And I love when he plays with Phil and Friends, because I feel like him and Phil definitely have something together. I guess it is going from playing 3 years, but being on the road for 3 years with each other with Further and everything, but now, like, when they come back, it's like they look like they're having so much fun up there. And it's definitely like, it's like old buddies, you know, like coming back and playing, getting to jam again.
Absolutely. So cool. Oh, absolutely. Well, right on. Well, let's go in and play this. So this is from, you introduced the song.
July 12, 2013, Further, Eyes of the World, the moment that, I guess, changed my life forever.
Right on. Well, everybody enjoy, and then we'll be back with a couple more songs and a couple more stories.
Thank you.
back from listening to Eyes of the World, and it's again, I'm sure everybody has a gigantic smile on their face just from listening to the music like they did that day. So let's go a little bit down the road. So, I mean, so you have like, you know, you have a community of like a group of friends that you've met through this, and we've talked a little bit about it. So, you know, and going to shows together. So, you know, tell me a little bit about, you know, what's going on with your crew.
So I have my three or four best friends, and my boy Adam, my best friend we've all met, and then our really good friend Dylan, and we had this group chat, and our friend Adam is funny because like, he really, really loves fish, and he's like, whenever we say something about like Jerry or like whatever, he'll be like, no, you gotta listen to this fish show. So we actually named the group chat Jerry, and then it's like a greater than sign, and it says Trey afterwards.
I mean, I totally agree, but you know, I get it. I don't know. I can't, the Dead and the Fish connection. I mean, both great. You know, the Fish is a great band and a jam band, and you know, I get the commonality with that and the timing, and you know, kind of when they started touring up and got real, you know, hot out there after Jerry died, but. I just, I can't categorically put them as the same, you know? I mean, I don't know. I can't do it.
I'm staring at a fish poster right now on my wall. I love fish.
but it's still not the same. The lyrics,
apples,
right? I mean,
apples and oranges.
Okay, there you go.
it's like the perfect balance. I'll explain to you like this. So like, someone else had, like, put this notion in my head, and, like, I built upon it, where... my buddy Gene, he's been seeing fish since like 1994 or something crazy. He's seen them over 170 something times, like some ridiculous number of times. And he was like, the thing about the Dead and Fish was the Dead always taught me a lesson, whereas and like made me like want to grow, you know?
Uh-huh.
And Fish is a very playful band. Like they're very silly. Like you go up there, like you see them and like they're all having fun. Like they're laughing, they're smiling, like on stage, like interacting with the crowd a little bit. And he always thought of it as he was able to pull, like, I guess, elements of his childhood out of Fish.
Okay.
So like, he'd go back to that and be like, it was like a more playful scene for him and, like, stuff like that. And to me, like, thinking about it now, it's, like, the most perfect balance. Like I guess that's how it works out for, like, different people. But, like, it's just, like, the perfect balance of, like you said, like, you listen to Dead and you're going to learn a lesson. Where if you listen to Fish, you're going to have some fun. You're going to... You know, you're going to bob your head a little bit, and it's going to be a good time. Like, I don't really listen to Fish for the lyrics. I listen to Fish because they jam really hard.
Well, I got to go see a live show. I mean, I think that that's really going to make the difference because I've heard, you know, similar to the Dead, that, again, the live show and the people and the interaction is kind of where the magic's at. So I think not ever seeing a live show and, you know, kind of being of the, you know, like the Dead, the catalog, I mean, that's what I know. But I'm totally open to, you know, digging more bands. I mean, there's always room in your heart to love more music, whatever it is. So
you got 13 chances to see him this summer in Madison Square Garden. You should definitely do it.
Yeah, I would like to. I really would, because I think that like if I go and I see him, it's going to make the difference. But you know, and at least you know it might as well, you know, I got to try, you know, got to
exactly.
Try everything. There's again plenty of room, and everybody's like. Heart for lots of music, and so when I say I don't get Fish, I don't mean it in a shady negative way. It's more in a I haven't experienced it the way other people have.
I did not get Fish until the second time I saw them, which was last December, and I walked into that concert and I was just like, wow, this band is amazing.
Okay.
They're just completely, it's like I said, it's apples and oranges. I mean, you can't really compare the two.
Well, I'm on board for it. I'm open to anything, up for anything. So
maybe we'll plan a date and we'll go together.
That sounds good. Yeah, you can indoctrinate me into it, and you'll be over 21, so we could even have a drink.
I know a couple bartenders in New York City. I think I would have been fine either way.
No, I'm just teasing. So tell me about the Dead and Company, talking about, you know, like bands and things are going on. Because the next show that you picked was from Dead and Company. So tell me a little bit about, you know, your experiences with those shows and how you feel about that.
So Dead and Company is definitely something that's special to me because Dead and Company is like the first band that I've ever actually got out there on the road with.
Okay.
we, I guess, reached the point in 2015 where Fare Thee Well happened, and no one really knew what was going to happen. Was that it? Was it not it? And I just remember I was at work, and I got, like, a notification on my phone, Dead & Company, Halloween, Madison Square Garden. I was like, I'm there. Absolutely there. And, I mean, I remember I saw John Mayer's name. I was like, no way. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. John Mayer was, like, with Bob Weir and Bill Kreutzmann and Mickey Hart. I was like, I can't believe this. This is insane. And I was always, like, I wasn't the biggest John Mayer fan. But then, I mean, I saw him, and it was just, like, the guy absolutely is amazing.
Just brings it.
That's the only word that I can think of when I think about John Mayer playing with Dead & Company is amazing, because he truly is.
I agree. So, yeah. No disagreements out of me. I mean, he's no doubtedly a talented musician. I mean, and always has been, and has always, yeah, again, had a lot of talent, and the different musical styles that he's played with, you know, some appeal to some and not as much to others, but I think, you know, getting to work with him and getting to, you know, to be a part of it, I mean, he just brings so much energy and so much fun and so much just an amazing musician, and in addition to all of that, so I totally agree.
Yeah, absolutely. Has blown me away in the, I think, 6 or 7 times I've seen them. And, but like I was saying, like, it's the first band that we've actually, like, really hit the road for, and, like, get my buddies together, and we're like, all right, we're gonna go to these shows, whatever. And I think fall tour, we wound up seeing 4 shows in a week.
Wow.
I went to Madison Square Garden both nights, and then we went from Philadelphia, which is what the Here Comes Sunshine is from, and then we wound up driving down to Washington, D.C. the next day.
Wow.
From Philadelphia. That was an experience in itself.
Right on. So. No, I saw them in Worcester at the Centrum, and it's kind of like one of those, like, serendipitous moments to me. Like, as I'm sitting here doing this podcast with you, and we mentioned we're snowed in, and I'm snowed in Worcester. I'm not home, and the hotel that I'm staying at is the same hotel that I stayed at in Worcester when I saw them at the DCU Center in November.
Oh, that's
like,
awesome.
Same time, and it's funny because I really didn't see a lot of music, you know, in a 20-year span. I mean, I kind of took a bit of a time out with work and kids and, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was really kind of a welcome back. And walking into this hotel, and I was thinking about this when I pulled in, I didn't realize it was the same hotel. Walking into the hotel and just the smell of, like, the patchouli and the weed and, like, just the sweet, the people, and, you know, it's that kind of winter, you know, so everyone's, like, a little bit musky, and, you know, it's November,
yeah,
it's a rainy night.
Yeah,
but this is just at the hotel. Like, I walk into this Courtyard Marriott, you know, and, like, the smell overwhelms me of, like, just that, like, pre-gaming, you know, like, indoor, you know, thing.
Yeah,
and
that's way too funny.
And I was like, I felt like I was home again, you know, like just walking into this Courtyard Marriott in Worcester and just being like, oh my God, I missed this so much. I mean, before
it's funny because I feel like if you were to say, like, the smell to any deadhead, everyone knows exactly the exact smell that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's just like this musky little patchouli, little weed, little sweat, you know, like, I don't know. It's just this smell. And I, like, walked into this Courtyard Worcester, and it's where I'm right now. And I was so happy. I was like, oh, this place. Like, it was a place that kind of brought me home, you know. And then we went to the concert, you know, went to the show up from here. And then we got, like, lost afterwards and whatever. But, yeah, no. So it's like
that's
one of those.
You know how it goes down, right?
Oh, yeah. We got lost. You know, we made it. That's all that matters. We made it back. It's kind of sketchy and,
yep,
like, dark and, you know, Worcester in November and the rain and. Yeah, but, you know, it was super fun. No, that was like an absolute, you know, I'd like to say I'm almost like a born again. Like, that was kind of a born again moment for me, because it's not that I lost my way, you know, in terms of, like, my musical taste or belonging to the community, but, you know, sometimes life takes you on different paths, and you just, you know, like the ripple, you know, you go down your path that you're going on, and coming back to seeing Dead & Company in Worcester here was, yeah, it was like a reanointment of coming home, and it was so cool.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that because I've literally heard that, like, the exact story from, like, so many people that had seen, obviously, with Jerry and all that. And, like, a lot of, like, the older fans are, like, now coming around. Like, they've been, like, I guess the people have had time to settle out from everything. And a lot of people are, like, definitely digging that company, which makes me happy because, like, that also, like, brings, like, a lot of, like, the older people who, like, the younger kids can now, like, we can start to, like, learn from and, like, learn different things and tricks and how to tour and, like, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
But I know, like, a lot of, like, the older people that have been saying, like, oh, that, like, Den Company, like, I haven't listened to this. I haven't been going to shows in 10 years, and I saw Den Company, and, oh, I'm taking off of work, and I'm making my schedule around going to see concerts now all over again. So, like,
yeah.
It's definitely, like, something that makes, like, the younger kids feel good, too, because, like, now, like, we understand, like, how, like, the community, like, builds itself up.
Absolutely, and I am definitely one of those people. And I have to say, 20 years. It was 20 years. This is a long break.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
It was 20 years from 95 to 2015. But I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of people like me. I mean, it really wasn't a, everyone's different and everyone's story's different. I mean, I don't really feel like it was a conscious decision as much as, you know, when you're, you know, say in your 20s and then, you know, you get married, you start your career, you have a couple kids, you move around, mm-hmm. like, I don't even feel like it was some sort of, like, conscious decision, like, I'm going to stop seeing live music after Jerry died. I think, you kind of, like, settle into your life and you don't have as much opportunity to go do that. And then, and now it's, like, all, like, there's just been this, like, great burst in the scene. And I think the people of my generation, we're a little more settled into our careers and our children are a little older and we can do that now. So, I think there's probably a few stories out there like mine, you know, it wasn't conscious. It was more situational.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that's crazy. But, like, I feel like I've heard that story from so many people. And I know my one buddy Mason who runs the, the From the Lot Instagram where, like, he posts, like, all the different shirts and everything like that.
Oh yeah.
He, the version of Sunshine that I picked out from Den Company Philly, he told me, like, that song brought me out of my 20-year drought. Like, I heard that and I was just, like, so amazed and, like, I just wanted to hear more.
Right on. Well, let's play it. Now I want to hear it. It's one of my favorite songs, and I have heard Den Company play it, but I heard them play it at SPAC, but I have not heard this version, so I am going to hear it.
No, it's definitely different than the other ones, I believe. They actually, it was the show opener, and it was a cappella. They opened up with, like, the first couple lines that were a cappella, and I just remember the lights were down, and all of a sudden, boom, just getting blasted with these crazy yellow lights, and it's, like, right in the face. Like, I was second level, but I was, like, directly on the stage. And there was this guy next to me. I guess his buddy was more of a deadhead than he was. And he was, like, what is this? What is this? And I was like, here comes Sunshine. And he was just like, oh, my God, this is one of the most amazing things I've ever heard. And I was like, you're not wrong.
Right on. Well, I love this song. I remember reading somewhere that this was The Wake of the Flood, and this song in particular was the John Lennon's favorite. And it has like a George Harrison, John Lennon. It has like a Beatles element to me. Like there's some sort of inspiration pulled from the Beatles with this song. And, I mean, again, who doesn't love the Beatles? So that's kind of my, I don't know, my
yeah,
feeling
no,
on it.
That.
Right on. Well, let's hear it. And then we are going to come back and we have a couple more stories and a couple more songs. So everybody enjoy Here Comes Sunshine, Dead and Company playing in Philadelphia on November 15th? 5th. November 5th. November 5th on 2015. So enjoy.
Yeah.
listening to Here Comes Sunshine, and so you've been like jamming and seeing as much music as you can since you started. So you picked out another really fun experience with your friends and show, and tell everyone a little bit about why you picked this next show and the story behind it.
So I think this is definitely pride. Is this a Stranger Stopping Strangers first to hear Dark Star Orchestra?
It is a Stranger Stopping Strangers first for Dark Star Orchestra. So welcome, Dark Star Orchestra. Welcome to the podcast. Yay!
That makes me so happy because I love these guys so much. They are the best. They are the greatest. So this is the night before Thanksgiving this year. Yeah, this year. Well, last year, I guess, technically, right?
Right, yeah. Calendar.
So we were seeing Joe Russo's Almost Dead, like, I guess this was Wednesday night, so the next Saturday night we were going to see Joe Russo's Almost Dead. Dark Star Orchestra was playing in Pennsylvania. We live in New Jersey. My mom buddy goes home to Pennsylvania, so we're like, yeah, I mean, you know, we might as well just go for the ride and see where it takes us. So I remember my one friend came picking up at my house, my friend Dylan, and we were going to Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, which is like literally the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania in the mountains. And the venue was Penn's Peak. And I mean, if anyone's ever been to Penn's Peak, it is just like, it's probably the coolest venue I've ever been to. It's actually a ski lodge on top of a mountain. Yeah, so it was like, it was definitely a lot of fun. And it's tough because I vend. I have a T-shirt company and everything. But a lot of venues don't let you vend.
Mm-hmm.
But Penn's Peak is one of like the few in the area that actually lets us vend, and they set it up for us perfectly, and they keep it orderly. This is actually also the first time at a concert. I didn't have a ticket to get in, and it was sold out. And the security guard was like, "Hey, I just saw someone selling a ticket down there. Go get it." And I was just like, "What?" And like I ran down, and like lady had the ticket, so I got a ticket and got into the show. But the show was crazy. What happened was we didn't get there late, but I was looking for a ticket, and the line, they were letting like one person at a time, and this line was like wrapped around the building. It was the most ridiculous thing ever. It was the slowest process ever. And I had actually gotten into the show a little bit late, but I remember I was listening to a show earlier in the day, and Might As Well came on, and it was just like the perfect song that I wanted to hear like that day. Like I was like just like at school, and like I needed to, I was on the way home to get ready for the show and everything, and the song just made me so happy because, you know, you might as well. And that's basically what I was doing that night. I was, might as well just go to the show and go have some fun in the middle of nowhere Pennsylvania night before Thanksgiving. And so I got into the show late, probably like halfway through the first set. And it was a great show, but the second set, they came on and they opened up with Might As Well.
Oh.
And it was just like, it was just like the perfect moment. And it just, like stuck with me. It was definitely something that like I needed to like hear at that moment in time, and never had such a good time in my life. I mean, my friends, I can tell you that were there, can tell you probably never had such a good time in our life. It was a very, very crazy time. And we wound up driving home and through the mountains of Pennsylvania and just like listening to all crazy tapes of Dead. And it was such a memorable night that I'll probably never forget for the rest of my life for sure.
Well, that is awesome. That is that's so special. And I'm excited to hear this. I saw it was the same tour. Gosh, it was November. Maybe they came right before they went to Pennsylvania. I saw them in Northampton, Massachusetts. So
every single year, I think that they said it was their 20th time at that venue, and it was the 10th time. It was the 10th year in a row they played the night before Thanksgiving there.
Oh, that's awesome. They were incredible.
It was 2 years prior. We were at the Peace Music Festival, and someone, like, it's like a Pennsylvania festival, and someone was like, "Oh, have you ever seen Dark Star Orchestra at Penn's Peak?" And we were like, "No, like, what are you talking about?" And they're like, "You got to see Dark Star Orchestra at Penn's Peak." So 2 years later, we wound up seeing them at Penn's Peak, and it was just like everything that these people had told us about and more. And they're actually playing there again in May. And We actually have a camp out planned for after the show. Probably about 20 people coming. So we're going to go to the show, and we found a campground like 5 miles from the venue. We're going to have a party all night.
That sounds good. Well, if I didn't have a full time job and two kids, I would I'd be poking around to join that party. But unlikely. I did check the tour, and they're coming up to Keene, New Hampshire. So I'll see what I can do to maybe walk.
Everyone needs to see Dark Star Orchestra. If you are a deadhead, you need to see Dark Star Orchestra. I don't care what anyone says that they're a ripoff, they're this or that. They are. Absolutely phenomenal.
No, they were so good. I had so much fun. I had such a good time and the best time. So I totally agree with my recent experience in November and would like to go in May and, you know, might as well, right?
Exactly. I think I've seen them the most out of any dead-related band I think I've ever seen. And they're playing like 3 New Jersey dates in May, and we're going to hit all of those and hopefully go some other places with Dark Star Orchestra, because they are absolutely phenomenal, like I've been saying. Like, I cannot preach them enough.
Fantastic. Well, let's hear it. Let's hear it. This is the very first for Strangers Stopping Strangers podcast. We've done, you know, Further and Phil and Friends and Dead and Company and, you know, obviously lots and lots of good old Grateful Dead. But welcome to the podcast, Dark Star Orchestra. I'm always excited to play, you know, everything. So we had... So let's do it. So they were going to roll into November. Why don't you call out the stats for this one?
This was – actually, hold on. They played this show – this, I guess everyone knows, like, I guess Dark Arts does a thing where, like, they play – they'll play, like, a dead set. Like, a show that the dead actually played. And this was, I want to say, June the 19th, 1976? Or June the 18th, one of the CDs. And might as well to open up the second set. Absolutely phenomenal. I mean, that's the way you get the house rocking if you're going to open up the second set, in my opinion. Now, after seeing it happen, everyone was just going crazy when that happened. Couldn't have called it any better.
Right on. Well, let's hear it, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to say goodbye, and then we have an encore song after that, so the perfect encore. So everybody enjoy, and then we will be back for some final goodbyes.
Thank you.
Well, so happy to have Dark Star Orchestra make its debut on this podcast because, like you and I were just talking, I mean, they are really good, and that's I have a big smile. It makes me really happy.
The best.
Well, I'm so glad to have gotten a chance to meet you. We met, you know, on Twitter and messaged and then chatted and talked and I, like I said in the beginning of the podcast, I haven't had what I call a 21st century deadhead guest in a while, and I hope to have more. I mean, I'd love to have, you know, your, like, friends, or actually I have another guy I'm going to have on in a few weeks that's a West Coast deadhead who's 19. So I'm hoping
perfect.
This becomes...
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, I really want it to be, you know, like... You know, I really want this podcast to be a sampling of, like, the parking lot, and I want it to be everyone, and I love hearing all of the stories and meeting everyone, and this is like, really special and awesome to me.
Yeah, so that is that.
Very cool. Well, so we're gonna do, I did this once before, and I'm gonna do this again. You know, because there's no rules. It's all for fun. We're going to say goodbye now, and then I'm going to play one last song, and then you know, do the little closeout. So, so we're doing a, you know, closer, encore, how all things should end. So you tell us a little bit about this.
So this is Broke Down Palace from Dead Set. My buddy Matt, he put me on this one. I mean, I absolutely think out of all the Broke Down Palaces I've heard, my favorite version, my go-to version. Everyone has a go-to version of every song. And this Broke Down Palace is just Brent on the organ, and Jerry just sounds so, so amazing. So Broke Down Palace from Dead Set is definitely the top-notch version if you're going to listen to a Broke Down Palace. I know there's a lot of different other versions out there. It's just, I don't know, this one always just has sat perfectly with me, and my buddy, me and my buddy, we're chasing Broke Down Palace. We have not heard it live yet.
You haven't heard it live yet, huh?
Have not heard it live yet. So this summer, we're gonna hopefully make that happen.
Well, it's in the catalog with the Detta Company, because I heard it in spec, right? I mean, they have been playing it, right?
Yeah, they did play it in spec. I remember I was live streaming that. They played Broke Down Palace and Johnny B. Good.
They
put a double for that.
That was so much fun. And it's funny, because... I think I've mentioned this before on another podcast, like way, way back, but I went down to North Carolina and they didn't do an encore. And, you know, Bobby got out and talked about, you know, voting and totally cool. And only at like a dead related show did like people not complain after there's no encore, you know, and it finished and my girlfriend and I were kind of like, you know, like.
No, you know what's funny though is that I remember the internet freaked out about that. The internet hated that. They're like, are they not going to do, is Denning Company not going to do an encore all summer long? And I was just like, they ran out of time, man. Like, everyone calm down.
Oh, it was such a good show. Yeah, and you don't want to complain, you know, like it was so much fun, such a good show. We had such a good time. And literally being there and walking out in the parking lot, I mean, the Deadheads are so cool and so nice and so happy. Nobody complained. So then you don't feel like being the one complaining. Like, I don't want to be the asshole, you know, like in the parking lot complaining after a totally killer show. So we kind of like grumbled to ourselves for a moment about it and then just like let it go.
It makes me happy. It actually makes me, thinking about it now, it makes me happier they didn't encore that night because I remember it was the time. Like, that's what happened was, like, I guess they had a curfew. And that was their first ever outdoor venue, because they had just been playing the fall tour. So like, that just shows to me that they were jamming a little bit more, and they weren't expecting to be cut off at a certain time. And you know, shit happens.
I did not know the reason until now. I'm so thrilled to have like the reason. I don't know. I kind of figured it was, you know, maybe like Bobby really wanting to, like, you know, make a statement about, you know, registering and voting. And so, I don't know. Like,
yeah, that was a special night because, like, they did the whole thing with, like, I guess the, it was, like, right around the time of the gay marriage thing, right? And I remember, like, they had, like, a special thing about that. And I guess Bobby then came out and started to, like, talk about voting, which, I mean, he wound up doing for the rest of the summer, which was really cool. And it was definitely something that was memorable to hear, like, your idol go.
No, and everybody was happy. I mean, you know, as a word on the street at the pavilion, like nobody was complaining when we left, and so you know, again, I quickly, you know, quieted down my mind because I didn't want to be the complainer, and it was so good, you know. Like, I was like, okay, just, you know, exactly. Whatever, be grateful for what you got. But to bring back why I brought it up is, so then we went to SPAC, and that was the next one I saw, and they did a double encore. So I was like,
Make up for it, right?
Yeah! I was like, all right, I got my I got it back in spades. There you go. So,
they knew.
I got it all back. So I left SPAC feeling redeemed for with the double encore, and so it was really good. Not that I needed it.
Funny, because a double encore is very rare. Like, even like back in the day, like, they never really did double encore. So that's like, it's like weird if they place a double encore like right in the middle of summer tour.
It was really fun, and John was just ripping it, you know, per our earlier conversation. So to have him come out and play Johnny Be Good, it was you know, it was like it was very cool. It was like a giant, like, you know, nod to him, and it was. Just what the doctor ordered. It was really fun.
Exactly.
So, well, Connor, we could talk forever, and so I'm going to say goodbye for real this time. I think we could just, like, make this a 3-hour podcast. But so much fun, and I'm not going to say, like, goodbye in general, because I'm sure we're going to be in touch. And everyone, we're going to leave you with this broken down palace, and
boom.
This is the sign off. Boom. So. Thank you, and bye.
Bye.
Left home, going home, going home. the bank screen edge, it will grow, grow, grow. Sing a lullaby beside the water, lovers come and go, the river rolls.
Thank you.